Well, tonight I want to teach on the benefits of speaking in tongues. If you have been able to be here the last two Sundays, this is kind of like the third message in a sequence of messages around the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidences of that, and then tongues, which I spoke on the whole idea of human language and spiritual language Sunday. We got into some of the things that I'll get back into tonight. But specifically tonight, I want to share with you some of the benefits. So what's the big deal about speaking in tongues? Well, the Bible has quite a bit to say about that. And for those of you who may be here for the first time, this is something that we believe here at Grace House. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit are for today, just as they were in the early church. Very interesting, if you read through Paul's first letter, particularly to the Corinthians, there were three, by the way. We have two of those, and the two we have mentions a third that we don't have. But in the first letter that Paul penned to the churches in the area of Corinth, he deals with some number of problems they had. Can you believe that? That the early church had problems too? But specifically the issue of the flow of spiritual gifts in their public worship gatherings. And it's really intriguing to me because people that want to get back to how the early church was, and that's the pattern for us. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, particularly chapters 12, 13, and 14, to deal with their relationship to spiritual gifts. Their motive in the gifts flowing has to be love. But he mentions the gifts, and he spends a good bit of time talking about the issue of tongues. He even tells them, you know, when you come together, there are a number of you that have tongues. He says, when you do it, you need to have two or three, and that in order, and only if they're interpreted. But then he shares also a lot of other information about speaking in tongues. And we'll be relying on some of those things tonight. We'll look at some other scriptures as well. I do want to remind you the foundational text that I used Sunday, and that's good to keep in mind tonight as we step into this. Jesus told his disciples right before he ascended back to heaven, he said that there are going to be particular signs that are going to follow your ministry. As you go out and you share the gospel, expand the kingdom, these signs will follow you. And we saw in Mark 16, verse 17, one of those signs is you will speak in new tongues. And I realize that some linguists say, well, we're not certain if the latter verses of Mark 16 should have been contained in the canon of Scripture. Well, even if it wasn't there, you still see it happening throughout the book of Acts, you know. By the way, it should be there because Jesus said it. It's verified in the book of Acts. And you can't pick and choose, okay? So when Paul writes to Corinth, he finishes his section on the tongues and gifts. And he says, you know, I wish that you all prophesy, but do not forbid to speak in tongues. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. But what does that mean? Isn't that the question you should answer? There's only one obvious one to me, but isn't it interesting that something that is so clearly stated has just been swept to the side by much of the body of Christ? And I hope that you saw Sunday when we looked at those verses in 1 Corinthians 13 and also 1 Corinthians 1, Paul clearly anticipated spiritual gifts to function until Jesus came back. And there would come a time when tongues would cease after that which is perfect has come. And that which is perfect refers to the second coming of Jesus, the consummation of the ages, a time when you and I will know even as we are known. We will get such an upgrade in our knowledge, our ability to know one another, to communicate with one another. It'll go back to, like I believe it was, in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. And if you haven't noticed, that hasn't happened yet. So do not forbid to speak in tongues. So let's step right into this. The first benefit that I want to share with you is that it is a means of direct communication with God. In 1 Corinthians 14, the first two verses, you can see that Paul says, pursue love. Remember the whole 13th chapter, he talks about love, what love is. Though you speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, it profits you nothing. In other words, the gifts need to be motivated by the love of God. They're not spiritual merit badges for us to compare ourselves to one another or think that we're better than one another because I've got this gift and you've got a different gift and so forth. But we're to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But what does that mean? Yeah, that we should have a desire within us for spiritual gifts to flow and function in our lives. So we don't need to redefine them either. We need to let the Scripture speak for itself. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, we could take the whole time tonight just on what's happening here that Paul describes when someone's speaking in tongues. He's making the point that prophecy in a public gathering is preferred. But he also says, do not forbid to speak in tongues. And he also says, if there's tongues in the service, that there shouldn't be more than two or three in that in order. So he's not eliminating it. But he is saying that through prophecy, everybody can understand what's being said. And we'll more on that in just a moment because when a tongue's interpreted, it is prophecy. So tongues is a way of, and by the way, you can pray in tongues, you can speak in tongues, and you can sing in tongues. All of that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And so I won't get into that, but you can read that for yourself. So this is a direct means of our communicating to God. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. Obviously here, he's using tongues in the sense of what most people there would not be able to understand. Now, I do believe on the day of Pentecost, they were given the ability to speak in known human languages that they did not know. They had not learned them. It wasn't that they had been to language school and learned to speak a different language and stood up and preached in that language they had learned. It was a supernatural enablement. We're also seeing Scripture that Paul said, though we speak in the tongues of men and of angels, he recognizes that there were human languages the Holy Spirit could gift someone with. When our daughter was out in Kansas City for a year in prayer and in a Bible school there at IHOP, this was back 20 years ago now, she was made aware, they had a young woman that came to share at the school that had supernaturally been given the ability to know and understand Latin, an antiquated language. So much so that a lot of the leaders in the Catholic Church and more Orthodox churches that still consulted the Latin a whole lot, they would meet with this young woman because she was so fluent and has had such an astute understanding of Latin, but she never took one single lesson in Latin. She was spiritually gifted to do so. Now, there are numerous stories that you can read about, and particularly at Azusa Street, it was very common for people to speak in a foreign language they had never learned because people were coming there from around the world. I've read numbers of stories of people who gave their testimony of how they were there from another country and someone gave a message in their language. And that person didn't know who they were and didn't know what language they spoke, but God did. So it was the Spirit of God moving through them, speaking to them. So there is an element where tongues is used of the Lord to speak to others. That'll be my next point. But here, we're talking about in the Spirit, you speak in mysteries. You're communicating with directly with God. Paul also teaches that the mind is unfruitful. I talked a little bit about this Sunday and the Sunday before. That when you're praying in a tongue, you are not consciously aware of what you are saying or praying. And I know people in the world and some people in the church say, that's nuts. That makes no sense. Now you're correctly interpreting the text. Because that's what it means. You don't understand what's being said. That's what Paul's saying here. It's a language that you're not going to understand. Do you know all the tongues of angels? Do you know all the tongues of human language? How many human languages are no longer existent? That doesn't mean that someone might not can speak in a tongue, you know. So we can't build a box around this and make it neat and tidy to satisfy our mental curiosity. By faith, we believe what the Word of God says, and by our experience, we understand the power of it when you flow in it and operate in it. There have been numbers of times when I have been worshiping privately, or just praying in tongues, wake up in the middle of the night. You know, a lot of times you just wake up and just start praying in tongues. Or if you're dealing with something, we'll get into this tonight too, if I get there. That when you start praying in the Spirit, it's amazing. And sometimes it takes a while. You may need to pray 10, 15, 20 minutes. But it's amazing how you can get in what I would call almost like a jet stream where all of a sudden all that stuff trying to crowd in on your mind, it's gone. And just out of your spirit, you are communing with God. And many times in the flow of that, then you might get a word of knowledge. You might get a word of wisdom. You might have a vision. A scripture might be brought to your mind. God may give you an instantaneous knowing of how to deal with a certain situation. That would be a word of wisdom. There is a supernatural communication between you and God that's taking place when you're praying in the Spirit in that way. A direct communication with God. I ran across today a note I'd made when I was in Nova Scotia seven or eight years ago it was, the last time I went. And I was on not far off the Bay of Fundy on the western side of Nova Scotia in a little town called Cambridge, ministering a church during the ministry time, able to pray for a lot of people. I prayed for laid my hands on a man and I'm praying for him. All of a sudden, he just starts praying in the Spirit. And I could tell he was really excited and the Spirit of God was on him. So I went on to the next person and so forth. After the service, he comes to me and he was so excited. I thought I was praying for him and he just started praying with me, you know, like some people do at times. He came up and he said, "Oh, I am so ecstatic." He said, "Do you know that I have been praying for over 30 years? For the baptism of the Holy Spirit, over 30 years to be able to pray in the Spirit." And it just, boom, it was just the right time, right place. The anointing was there for it, and it just opened up. Wow. And he was so excited. Yes. Yeah. Second thing, let me move on. I did get a few of these done anyway. The second one, that a benefit of speaking in tongues is communicating prophetically to others. Now, we just read the first couple of verses where Paul says that if someone's speaking in a tongue, no one can understand what they're saying because they're speaking to God in mysteries. And when you get to verse 5, Paul says, "I wish you all spoke with tongues." Can I just say that to you? I wish each and every one of you spoke in tongues.
Amen.
Somebody might have never said that over you. I just said it. All I was doing is quoting Scripture. It was Paul's desire for all of them to speak in tongues. Must have been a good thing. But even more, now I love the way he says this. He doesn't say, you need to back off speaking in tongues and try to start prophesying more. He doesn't say that. I wish you all spoke in tongues and even more that you prophesied. Obviously, he was big on the gifts. Let's make room for the gifts. I want you to operate in the gifts. He goes on to say, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Why? He says, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So when a tongue is being spoken and it's interpreted, then that equals being a prophecy. So you begin to see here there is a difference in what we would call private devotional praying in the Spirit and publicly sharing a message in tongues in a public setting. It would kind of look like this, this little chart here, that in a public assembly, it's to the body. There's a bunch of people there, the body, and it needs to be interpreted. And he's not talking about find somebody there that speaks that language. He's talking about the gift of interpretation, because if you look at the gifts of the Spirit, you see that there's the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So if a tongue is given, and then someone has that, the gift through the gift of interpretation, that is, the Holy Spirit causes somebody to release a tongue in a public setting, when that happens here, we automatically stop, and if it's, sometimes people may start praying in the Spirit, and you can usually tell that, but if a message comes forth, then somebody's going to have an interpretation. If the Lord gave it to that person, then somebody's going to have the interpretation. Sometimes it may be that same person. Well, why does God do it that way? Why don't they just prophesy? We don't control how the gifts operate. You know, you can shut them down. You can hinder them from flowing. So in the public, if a tongue comes forth, it needs to be interpreted, because that makes it the same as a prophecy. It functions like prophecy. In private devotion, you're praying directly to God. There's no requirement. Just cut loose praying whenever you want to. And it personally builds you up. It edifies you. And we've seen that happen numbers and numbers of times across the years here at Grace House. A third benefit of speaking in tongues is personal spiritual edification. We just read that a tongue interpreted edifies people, but you know that just praying in the Spirit will personally edify you. In 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He gives that in the context that other people aren't going to be edified unless it's interpreted. But when you're praying in the Spirit, it edifies you. Jude says it this way, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You're building yourself up. And again, like I shared Sunday, Jesus, he did not have a carnal mind. He had a perfectly God-centered mind. He didn't have competing wrong, carnal, sinful, lustful thoughts. He had a pure flow in his language. But we still struggle. Paul talks about that in Romans 7. But when we're praying in the Spirit, it bypasses our mind and we're directly communicating to the Lord. But it builds us up by doing that. It's just like if you're in your marriage, deeper conversations with your spouse of a more intimate nature where you're really being transparent and sharing your hearts, it draws you closer to one another. It makes your marriage stronger. In the Spirit, when you're praying in the Spirit, your Spirit, through the Spirit of God, to God, then it builds you up. If you start battling discouragement, start praying in the Spirit. If you start feeling low, start praying in the Spirit. So it's just a good way to strengthen yourself spiritually by praying in tongues. A fourth benefit, praying, when you're praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God. In Romans 8, I believe Paul is referencing this when he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. It must not bother God for us to admit we have weaknesses. I know sometimes people tell you, you don't admit you've got some kind of weakness. while the Holy Spirit's given us to help with our weaknesses. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. To me, this is such an encouraging scripture. Number one, if I'm battling with some weakness, I know what to do. Number two, if I don't know what to do, this scripture tells me that the Lord knows that happens too. Because he tells me what to do if I don't know what to do. Allow the Holy Spirit to pray through me with the groanings which cannot be uttered. He makes intercession for us. Isn't that awesome? That in our spirit, that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. We can begin to pray in the Spirit. And, you know, a lot of times you may focus on, if you've got a prayer burden, you kind of like set your aim, Lord. Sometimes when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'll say, Lord, you know, I'm concerned about this situation. I don't know exactly what would be the right way to go with this. So I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. And I'll just begin to pray in the Spirit, trusting that since I brought that need forth, Holy Spirit will now come and pray according to the will of God. And we surrender to his intercession through us when we're praying in the Spirit. And goes back to what I said earlier, that's amazing when you're doing this, how sometimes the answer comes. That's one of the mysteries of God, like when that revelation bursts into your mind, that scripture comes to your mind, or that word of wisdom comes to your mind, or the Lord lays a certain person and you just got a prompt. I need to contact that person, and you contact them, and wow, they had something going on, or wow, they tell you exactly what you needed to hear for that something you've got going on. It's just amazing how Holy Spirit will network us in the body of Christ together by praying in the Spirit. So if you're here tonight and you're struggling with some things, I don't even know how to pray about this, let me tell you, somebody who does, turn him loose. Holy Spirit, start praying in tongues. Pray in the Spirit according to the perfect will of God. And it's just amazing how that works. Tim, I'm going to share the story you shared with me yesterday. He brought to my memory, this happened, I guess, over 25 years ago probably, or longer. And Tim related this to me. At that time, I was still living in Haleville, had a prayer center out in a little mall area, and where we had different people from different churches coming, and we had about 20 to 30 hours a week of prayer going on in the prayer center. And Tim was helping me in those days, driving me all over the country and other ways as well. I was at a school event with my boys, and he reminded me of this. He said, you showed up at the prayer center. You came in the back door. He was in the restroom, cleaning the restroom. Now, you gave me permission to tell this. He said he was struggling with the fact he really didn't want to have to be in there cleaning the toilet and all that, But he said he started feeling the presence of the Lord come on him while he was doing that. The Lord loves us so much. I come through the back door. He says, I walk over to him and told him, said, the Lord told me I was supposed to come and pray for you right now. I put my hand gently on his throat and pray for the Lord to enable him to have his prayer language, to pray in the Spirit. Turned around and left. That sounds about right in those days. Just left. He said his throat started burning, and he really felt the presence of the Lord. And then he heard a knock on the front door of the prayer center. It had a glass front door, and there were two ladies there. He goes and unlocks it and lets them in. They were from the Woman's Aglow. And they said, the Lord told us to come here that there was going to be a young man who would pray for us. Well, Tim looks around. He's the only one in there. They said, it must be you. They go up to the front. There were some chairs there. They sit down. He goes down on his knees and takes them by the hands and just starts praying in tongues for the first time ever. Prays over them. Prays over them. They get touched by the Lord, get up and said, thank you, young man, and just leave. But it's like the Holy Spirit just orchestrated all of that spoke to me to leave where I was to go to the prayer center. And Tim was there like the Lord told me he would be and prayed for him. Just left, did what God told me. They come, did what God told them to do. And God used Tim to pray over them in the Spirit because he had been wanting to pray in the Spirit. God sent me to pray for him to pray in the Spirit. He prayed over them, started praying in the Spirit. They got what they need and they left. God does that stuff. Part of the mysteries of God. We don't always know what God's will is, but you have those burdens. You just start praying into them. It's amazing what he might network and bring together. You'll find yourself in the middle of a miracle and realize, my goodness, God, you had to do this. I encourage you, when you're burdened and you don't know how to pray, remember Holy Spirit does, just start praying in the Spirit. Number five, another benefit, by doing this, there is a pure Spirit-led worship and thanksgiving that we're involved in. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 16 and 17. He says, otherwise, and I know I'm stepping right in the middle of the context here, but you'll see this clearly. He says, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? There he's talking about praying in the Spirit. And the uninformed is a person that don't understand how tongues operate. He said, they won't be able to say amen at the giving. They won't. Amen means I agree. If they don't know what you're praying, they won't know how to agree, if they agree with you or not. And which, well, I won't go there. It brings up something else. But it says, at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say. Notice that. Since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Again, this is a public setting when you're praying in public. But what we do see here, Paul recognizes that you can pray, you can give thanks in the Spirit. In other places, he talks about, you know, so I'll sing with knowledge and I'll sing in the Spirit. There's praying with, he said, I'll sing with understanding, I'll sing in the Spirit. I'll pray with understanding. Or pray in the Spirit. So again, it's this idea of you're praying from your spirit and your mind is unfruitful, not in really engaged. Turn on some worship music. Just start singing in the Spirit. Get along with God and just worship Him that way, just you and the Lord. And it's amazing what can begin to happen. It's really an uninhibited way of just letting your spirit go for it. You know, Holy Spirit, you take the lead. It's like surrendering your tongue to the Holy Spirit without your mind getting in the way. I know that sounds strange, but when you begin to experience it, you know the fruit of it. And one last benefit that I'll cover tonight is that, and this is really important, that praying in tongues, it's a weapon to utilize in spiritual warfare. Yes. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, anytime it says praying in the Spirit, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be tongues. You can pray in your English language or your Spanish, whatever your natural language is. You can do that with the Holy, you know, through the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't preclude the praying in tongues. And I believe this is one of, when we weaponize tongues in this way, it's very, very powerful. And if you think about where Paul said, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels, you know, it's very possible there's some kind of connectivity when we're in warfare. There's been times I have what's called militant tongues. You know, your tongue may not always sound the same way when you're praying in tongues. I've had times where I've gotten into a real militant sound, and I knew I was in warfare. You could feel it, you could sense it, and just flowing like you were on the front line, and you were doing battle in the Spirit. And sometimes you may know what you're battling. Say if you've been praying for your child or some situation you're real burdened about and you've just been praying and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I've got some ammo now. It's firing away. You know you're doing warfare. That our praying in the Spirit can impact, I believe, what happens in the angelic realm. There's a lot of different kinds of teaching on this. I'll tell you where I am, what I'm comfortable with biblically. I'm not comfortable commanding angels because I don't see it in Scripture. I'm comfortable praying in the Spirit. And if the Lord wants me to pray in the tongue of an angel, and Father responds to that. Because Jesus, when he was in one of his most intense times, he told his disciples right before he was arrested, "Don't you know that I could pray right now to the Father and he would send 12 legions of angels to rescue me?" That's the divine order. You pray to the Father and he sends his ministering spirits to minister to us. So people will differ with me on this, but I don't feel comfortable commanding. I don't mind asking the Lord, "Surround us with your holy angels, O Lord." But the orders need to come from headquarters. They respond, we're told in Psalm 103, they respond to the word of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying a person might not be an anointing come on a person and they make some kind of command that is the literal word of the Lord in that moment kind of thing. God can do it ever how he wants to. But I don't just feel comfortable making up a list and telling these angels to do this and that and that. We need to be Spirit-led in everything we do. And we need to be biblically in alignment with these things as well. But I think praying in tongues is a very powerful spiritual weapon. I use this Ephesians 6:18 because this is in the section where Paul's going through our armor, the armor of God. And the last thing he mentions is this one: praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Paul sees that as one of the weapons of the armor of God. So I encourage you to utilize it for that, to get on the firing line and fire away in the Spirit. Again, there could be all kind of revelation that begins coming to you. Scriptures are brought to your mind. The Holy Spirit may bring things to your remembrance. It can happen when you're praying in your own language as well. But there's something about stepping into praying in the Spirit. We also know one of the big parts of spiritual warfare is the salvation of souls, winning people to Christ, taking ground for the kingdom. On the day of Pentecost, what did God do? He enabled those disciples to speak in a language that people gathered there from the different nations could understand. And then Peter was able to stand up. It got their attention. Peter was able to stand up and preach Christ and Christ crucified to them. He preached the gospel to them. So we don't need to lay this weapon down and walk away from it as the body of Christ. We need to utilize it, be available, be on call, and I encourage you, pray in the Spirit. I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Amen. And even more, that you prophesy, begin to operate in the prophetic. That's a big Holy Ghost sign, Joel chapter 2, in the last days when God pours his Spirit out, happened on death, Pentecost, sons and daughters would prophesy. Sons and daughters, men and women. Their voices would be released with prophetic enablement from Holy Spirit. There are people who walk in the office of a prophet, but all God's children, listen, all God's children have a prophetic DNA, if you will, that we carry spiritually. Because the Holy Spirit, who is the gift, the promise of the Father given us, he comes and he has all the gifts. And don't think that God can't use you any way he wants to use you. Amen. Just let him. Let him. Amen?
Amen.
Would you stand? And let me remind you of something that happened about a little over 2 years ago in a service one Sunday when we had our precious sister Susan that sits over here in this area. They were dealing with her about potentially putting her on a list for a heart transplant. She had had 4 scans. Many of you have heard this. But the Spirit of God began to move across the room. There was weeping, just different things, popcorn different kind of things started happening around the room. Her heart got healed. She went back 4 days later, had it scanned, and they told her there's nothing wrong with it. It was amazing. She came up after God touched her. She thought she was having a heart attack and going to die. She said, it felt like a hot rod had been put through me. God was healing her right then. She came up. Pastor Doc laid hands on her. She started speaking in tongues. Boom. Just like that. First time. Right? God orchestrated that. We have to, listen, many pastors in churches like ours would probably say something like this. It's easier to pastor without the gifts. Everything's neat, organized. Everybody knows what's going to happen. You're going to have some messy when people are going for God. But listen, thank God for it. I'm glad that you are a people who are open to the gifts of the Spirit, who are wanting God to speak to you and speak through you. And just this is what was happening in the early church. Read 1 Corinthians sometimes with that in mind. Lord, show me just the stuff that was going on in the early church. And I think it's healthy to ask, are we seeing these kind of things in our church? I'm not saying some of them you don't want to see, like the two women that was causing a big uproar in the church and Paul, or people bragging about who baptized them. Some of it's stuff you need to stop. But look at the stuff that Paul didn't tell them to stop, but they needed to get it in the right order. We don't want to throw the baby out with the dirty bathwater. Right? Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way. Prayer team members, come on up. There could be someone here on this Wednesday evening. You want someone just to lay hands on you and just receive whatever God wants to do in your life tonight. Maybe you're bearing a burden. You need somebody to pray with you. We believe in prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. By the way, our monthly prayers for healing is this Saturday morning from 9 to 10. It will be in the healing room this time. And Mike and Vicki will be leading that for us. Do what? In the conference room, Mike and Vicki. Okay. Right now, that's where it is. May change before you get there, but we'll let you know. We're doing a lot of VBS stuff. We've got a funeral going on Saturday, so we're trying to work around all these things. But right now, what matters is, what is the Lord speaking to you? If you need prayer, come on up. Father, have your way tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to be together here tonight at Grace House. And Lord, I know I've just skimmed the surface on something that's really important. Help us all to go deeper. Help us all to be teachable and humble and available and surrendered to you. Have your way, O Lord. And Lord, bless our people that are working so hard here this week for VBS. Thank you for all the people that are volunteering to help. May next week be a week of glory for our children. And this Sunday as we gather back here at Grace House, Lord, prepare our hearts. Help us to prepare our hearts for all that you want to do this coming Lord's Day. And we just pray that from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, those that you want to be here, those that you're calling to be a part of what you're doing here in this congregation, we just call them in Jesus' name, and help us to be willing to go out and bring them in. Help us to live for you, love like you love, be led by your Spirit, and represent Jesus well. Be blessed, saints of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here tonight. Can we give the Lord some praise? Thank you, thank you, thank you. This altar's open. If you need prayer, please come on up. Shame to that. I want to preach it till Jesus comes back, because that's what Paul believed. And that's what Paul preached. I'm through. want you to stand with me. I want you to stand with me. Any of our prayer team members that are here, and I've gone longer than I probably should have because we've got people waiting to get in here. We're up here. We'll be happy to pray for you. But I just really encourage you to get along with God and get in these scriptures that we're studying and ask God to show you. I want you to believe them, but don't believe them because I'm telling you. You get in the Word. Like the Bereans, Lord, if Brother Eddie's showing me the truth, help me to see it for myself. Anchor it in my heart and my soul. Because I'm telling you, there's more. No matter what kind of experiences you've had with the Lord, there's always more. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for the blessings you impart to us that bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus, who is the King of Kings. May we represent you well, King Jesus. May we be open to all that you have for us. And Lord, if someone's here today that doesn't know you as Lord of their life, or if there are believers here today with whom you're dealing about stepping more deeply into the life of the Spirit, may there be a yes in our hearts, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And thank you for being here today. Can we thank the Lord? Have a blessed day.